Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Do you ever sit down on a teeter-totter and try to make it work by yourself? It doesn't work very well, does it? You have to have somebody else on the other side. And that's the way God designed our lives. We need each other. We're better together. We need relationships to live the life that God intended for us to live. Let's look at God's Word and what He has to say about this today.
Thanks for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, the world tells us that we shouldn't count on anyone but ourselves to make our way in life. We don't need anybody's help. We know what's best for us. Now, as we continue our series called Better Together, we'll see that God's Word, the Bible, says the exact opposite. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help you learn how to love, trust, and work together with your family, friends, and community to achieve common goals for your life. It's called the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. You can take a sneak peek at this great resource, which includes a six-session DVD and study book guide, by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's program. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Why We Need Each Other.
In a war, everybody has to take time on sentry duty. While everybody else is sleeping, somebody stays awake to make sure the enemy isn't crashing in. Now, since 9/11, we've all been a whole lot more vigilant for each other with terrorism and things like that. But did you know that you have an enemy far more destructive than terrorists? Oh, yeah. You have a personal enemy, and he hates your guts. And he wants to defeat you. His name is Satan. And Satan wants to mess up your life. Satan wants to bring problems in your life. Satan wants to ruin your relationships. He wants to hurt you as bad as he can. Now, why would he do that? Because he can't hurt God. See, Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to hurt God, but he can't. When you can't hurt somebody, what do? You go after their children. If you couldn't get to me, you'd go after my wife or my kids. Satan can't hurt God. So what does he do? He tries to hurt God's children. And he doesn't care what it'll take, how badly you get hurt. He wants to mess you up anyway. And the moment you wake up in the morning, he's already been plotting how to get you to waste that day, to blow it with anger or worry or fear or guilt or shame or depression or any other resentment or bitterness. He'll just try to get you all messed up. I've been reading this 9/11 report from the commission. Interesting reading. But as I read it, I thought, what are the parallels here between our battle, our spiritual battle against Satan? Now listen to this. Listen to this parallel. We learned about an enemy. This is what the committee reported. Who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal. That's exactly what the devil is. The enemy rallies broad support by redressing political grievance, but its hostility toward us and our values is limitless. And Satan's hatred of you is limitless. Its purpose is to rid the world of religious pluralism. It makes no distinction between military and civilian targets. Collateral damage is not in its lexicon. Satan doesn't care who gets hurt. He just wants to hurt. It says, we learned that we did not understand how grave this threat could be, and so we did not adjust our plans and practices to deter or defeat it. Boy, if that doesn't describe most Christians. We don't realize the war we're in, and so we don't make any plans to handle temptation. It says, now the test before us now is to sustain the unity of purpose. I could have written this stuff. Okay? The test before us is to sustain the unity of purpose and meet the challenges now confronting us. We need to design a balanced strategy for the long haul to attack terrorists while at the same time protecting ourselves against future attack. Think about that. They say, we not only have to protect ourselves, we have to go after them. And that's what it says in the Bible. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Gates are defensive. He says, you're going after the devil, not vice versa. Now, let me tell you something. So when Satan attacks you, he doesn't come in a little red costume with pointy, you know, things and a pitchfork and say, boo. How does Satan mess up your life? Through habits you can't break, the hurts that you won't let go of and you hold on to resentment, through hang-ups you can't change in your life, through problems, through circumstances, through relationships that break your heart and hurt you. And he always works around through others. And most of the Christians are defeated. They live in defeat. Why? Because we try to fight him on our own. And that's stupid. You're never going to win against the devil on your own. You need other people who will watch out for you and help you. Look at this next verse. Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. That's a small group. He says, you know, you watch out for each other. Last year, about this time, I walked across a maximum security prison yard in Northern California. 2,000 inmates in that field and in that yard. And I walked across it with no guard protecting me, no gun, no weapon, no body armor, but just myself. And I'm walking across, and I was not afraid. Why? Because I had a group of other inmates, about 30 of them, who were Christians, in front of me, behind me, and on either side of me. And if anybody wanted to get at me, they were going to have to get through these guys who had these tattoos that said, Mom and Jesus, you know? And there's no way I felt worried, because these guys were there to protect me. Now, here's my question. Is there anybody watching your backside? Anybody who's watching out for your spiritual welfare? Do you have anybody close like that? Are you in a small group where that group of guys, if you're a guy, or women, if you're a woman, who are saying, you know what, we're there when you're going through the tough time. We're not going to let you get discouraged. We're not going to let you get depressed. We're not going to let you get worried, because we're going to be here with you. If you don't have anybody like that, I pity you. You've got a big bullseye on your back for Satan. Say, here's a loner. They're not connected. They're not in a group. You know, I know this is hard to believe, but when I was young, I was a lifeguard for 3 summers. Actually, they fired me because every time I see a hand, I go, yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Is there another? Oh, yes, many are raising their hands. God bless you. Yeah, thank you. I made that part up. But it was a lifeguard, and everybody knows you never go swimming by yourself in the ocean. You might catch a riptide. You never go by yourself. Did you read about this kid? He was an experienced climber, mountain climber a couple of months ago. He's climbing a mountain, slipped and fell into a ravine, and got his arm caught. And he couldn't get out, and he would have died there because he was by himself. He thought he knew enough to go it on his own. And the only way he broke free was he had to cut his own arm off. Or die. Even the pros need a buddy. Would you write this down? Community is God's answer to defeat. Community is God's answer to defeat. I need people to walk with me and work with me and watch out for me. Number four, I need others to wait with me and to weep with me. To wait and weep. I'm talking about they wait while I'm waiting for the bad news, and they weep when I get the bad news. I need people in me with the inevitable crises of life, the tragedies hit. I don't want to face that alone. Now, as your pastor, I especially feel this one because I see it on a daily basis. There are situations that nobody should ever have to go through alone. Nobody should ever have to wait in the hospital while a loved one is in a life or death surgery. Nobody. No woman should ever have to wait alone, waiting for the lab report back on a problem pregnancy. Nobody. Nobody should have to wait for news from a battlefield alone. Nobody should have to stand at the edge of an open grave alone. Nobody should have to wait at home alone for the coroner to come and publicly identify the body of a loved one who just died. Nobody. Nobody should have to spend the first night alone after their husband has died or wife has died. And nobody should ever have to spend the first night alone when their wife has just walked out or the husband's walked out. Now, the fact is, some of these things are going to happen to you. They're inevitable. You're going to have loved ones die. You're going to go through tragedy. You're going to get bad health news. You're going to find out one day that you are dying. And you need other people in your life. Now, only a fool would go all the way through life totally unprepared for something you know is inevitably going to happen. The time is now to build the safety net, the network of supportive friends, get it in place now, because at some point the tragedy is going to happen. You don't know when. The time to prepare is now. Now, what is God's safety net? It is a group of other believers. You don't need 100. You only need 5 or 6. But there's a group of other believers who are committed to you. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 3:8. You should be like one big family, full of sympathy toward each other. Now, when you get in the hospital, you don't want the whole church to visit you. In fact, it'd be kind of bad if all of us came. But it would be nice to have 4 or 5 come see you and say, we're praying for you. I've told you many times that I could not make it in life without my small group. 8 other people, plus my wife and I, in our small group. This last year, we've gone through practically every kind of family or personal crisis you could imagine. And we've been there to wait for each other and to wait with each other and to weep with each other when we needed support. See, here's God's plan. 1 Corinthians 12. If one member suffers, all suffer together. You know, I read recently about a guy who died at home in his bed and nobody discovered it for 2 years. I thought, how tragic that a guy was not even missed for 2 years. Can you imagine the despair in that man's heart as he was dying in bed? Nobody should ever die alone. Nobody should ever have to go through that kind of despair. Would you write this down? Community is God's answer to despair. Community is God's answer to despair.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Why We Need Each Other from our series called Better Together. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131.
The Bible teaches that we're better together and that we need deep, purposeful relationships with other Christians. Yet many people get tired of trying and settle for superficial connections or even retreat to a lonely life. Pastor Rick says you can experience healthy, vibrant relationships through community with other Christians. And that's why he put together the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. This 6-session DVD and workbook will help you find and establish the type of friendships you've always longed for. Here's what Vanessa shared. I never thought I really needed a small group, that I could handle life on my own, because I'm tough. But after a period of going through minor illnesses, I decided I needed to be in a group, so I started one. A few months later, I had to manage 2 separate tragedies. I felt like I was under attack. But it was my small group that got me through with prayer and faith. Never before had I needed to lean so heavily on other believers, and I'm so glad that they were there when I needed them. In a month where I could have doubted Christ, I grew closer to Him because of the strong people in my group that I had been blessed with. Life is easier with a small group because they help carry you through the good and the bad. Thanks for writing, Vanessa. If you want to learn how to cultivate deeper relationships with those around you as you discover how we are better together, then call and ask for the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. We'll send it your way when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
I've told you many times that I could not make it in life without my small group. Eight other people, plus my wife and I, in our small group. This last year, we've gone through practically every kind of family or personal crisis you could imagine. And we've been there to wait for each other and to wait with each other and to weep with each other when we needed support. See, here's God's plan. 1 Corinthians 12. If one member suffers, all suffer together. You know, I read recently about a guy who died at home in his bed and nobody discovered it for 2 years. I thought, how tragic that a guy was not even missed for 2 years. Can you imagine the despair in that man's heart as he was dying in bed? Nobody should ever die alone. Nobody should ever have to go through that kind of despair. Would you write this down? Community is God's answer to despair. Community is God's answer to despair. Romans 12:15 says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. We do that in a group. Somebody has a good thing, a promotion, a celebration, a graduation. We party. We have a good time. We have fun. Somebody has a tough time, we weep with them. By the way, you know, a lot of times in groups, small groups, people don't know how to deal with tears. You'll be in a small group together and someone starts crying. A little tear comes down the cheek. Let me give you a little tip. A tear is always a sign it's time to stop and pray. That's what you do. Whenever there is a tear, it's time to stop and pray. And so you say, well, wait a minute, let's just stop right now and let's pray for Mary. She just got this news from her sister. So let's stop and pray for her right now. Let's stop and pray for Bob right now. He has given 22 years of his life to this corporation, and they just laid him off with 1 week's notice. And he's pretty devastated. Let's pray for Tom right now. That is the sign to do. Now, you don't have to fix anybody's problem in a small group. They don't want you to fix it. They just want you to sympathize. When you're going through a crisis, you don't want advice. You just want somebody to be there. You just sit there with them, silent, hold their hand, put arm around the shoulder, cry with them, be there with them. In fact, usually it's when we start talking, we get in trouble. We get the stupid advice and stuff like that. No, just be there. Just be there. Sit there with them. And sometimes you sit in silence. The fifth reason I need other people in my life is I need them. I need others to witness with me. And what I mean by that, you have a life message that God wants you to share with the world. It's part of your mission. And there's great power in group witness. God never meant for you to do your mission alone. God would never send a soldier out by himself. No, he says we go out together. And it's very impressive. Now, what is the way you witness best to people who don't know the love of God? How do you witness best to them? I'll surprise you. God says it's by loving others in the family of God. Look at what Jesus said. John 13. Your love for one another, not for me, he says, not for God, not for Jesus. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What impresses the community the most? When Christians, believers, love each other. You see, the one thing that proves to the world that you're in the family of God, that you've stepped across the line, that you're headed for heaven, is that you love other people in the family of God. And if you do not love other people in the family of God, you've got every reason to doubt, am I in it? Because that's one of the things. When you're truly in God's family, you start loving others in God's family. And that's what impresses the community. You see how they love. That's what we want Saddleback to be known for. What impresses them is not our size, not our buildings, not our sermons, not our music, but hey, that's the place where you get loved. That's where they love you. That's where it's okay for a guy to stand up and go, I got a sex addiction. That's the place where it's okay for a guy or a woman to stand up and say, I just lost my husband. He walked out on me. That's the place where you're not perfect, but they love you still. That's what we want to be known for. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and to enjoy being with them. I'm going to add, and invite them into your home. I love you guys. I've often asked you this question: is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? I've often asked that. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Let me make you a little guarantee. If you will get in a small group for the next 6 weeks, and you'll invite somebody who doesn't go to church to come and be in that small group and watch those videos that I've taped, together we'll make this happen. And by the end of 40 days, you'll be able to say, yes, somebody's in heaven because of me. And you don't have to worry about it. I'll help you. We're going to do it together. Would you write this down? God's answer to fear is community. God's answer to fear is community. And the last verse, Philippians 1:27, says, you are working together and struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. That verse right there has the two goals of what we're going to do in it. First, deepen community within our church, and then reach out to community around our church. Now, I want you to say this. I really need a group. Okay, it wasn't that hard, was it? That is your declaration of interdependence. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's time for the church to be the church, and it's time for a revolution of love and fellowship and community. Please begin it in our hearts. With all my heart, Lord, I know that our churches will start fulfilling God's purposes together. And when that happens, we'll see a new reformation in the church and a new spiritual awakening in our country. And God, we need it. Now you pray. Say, dear God, forgive me for the times I felt like I didn't need other people in my life. I want to be a part of what you're doing on earth through your family, the church. And I want to experience real community. I'm tired of superficial relationships. I want to learn to really love and be loved in a deeper way. I open up my life to you, Jesus Christ. Come into my life. Accept me into your family. In your name, amen.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Let me ask you a question. Who are the people that God has used to help you grow spiritually? I'd encourage you to sit down and make a list. And then I would like to ask you a second question. Who are the people you're helping to grow? One way that we learn from each other is by committing to a small group. And let me just say this, if you're not in a small group, I want to challenge you to start one. Don't go looking for a group, just start one. It's very easy to do. You just invite one or two people over to your house and you offer them some refreshments, some Coke or tea or, you know, just water, and you push play on your DVD player and you'll have the Bible studies that I've prepared for you. And I want to tell you this, as a pastor for over 30 years, that most people would welcome an invitation to be in a small group. Most people would like to connect. They're just waiting for an opportunity. Now, you could start with a Bible study that teaches your small group that we're better together. What better place to start? I have a study kit called 40 Days of Community. And literally, tens of thousands of small groups have used this study over time. Right now, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope, we'll send you the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. Now, that includes the DVDs and all of the studies that I've taught, a workbook. And let me tell you, when you reach out to others with the love of Jesus Christ, they're going to be blessed, and so will you. Thanks for listening today. You know, I love you, I care for you, and I'm praying for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.